And as we breathe into this sacred moment, we let all distractions fade away and begin to center ourselves in spirit, allowing our hearts to fill with thanksgiving for that presence of God that is in each and every moment and in each and every aspect of creation. And we trust that God knows our needs even before we ask. And so we open ourselves to receive God's love, healing, guidance, and blessings as we listen to today's daily word. And the word is confident. God is my source for success. I am confident in all that I do. I invite you to allow my words to be your words. I am confident. I have the wisdom, knowledge, and inspiration to make decisions that move me forward and benefit others. I am empowered with the strength and ability to accomplish whatever I choose. I am confident, capable, and powerful. How can I make these claims? Who am I to assert myself with such authority? I am a child of God, blessed beyond measure. Because I have faith in and act from the presence of God within me, I can surmount any obstacle, solve any problem. God is the source for all, and I need to, for all that I need to succeed in the desires of my heart. I am confident, and I act with confidence in all that I do. And from Proverbs, the Lord will be your confidence and will keep your foot from being caught. God is my source for success. I am confident in all that I do. Now that our hearts and minds are wide open, ready to be transformed by the power of Spirit moving in and through us, we begin this lesson and meditation time with this sacred reading.
From Taoism, do not try to develop what is natural to man. Develop what is natural to heaven. He who develops heaven benefits life. He who develops man injures life. It's from Chang Tzu 19, from Islam. I was a secret treasure, and I created the creatures in order that I might be known. From the Hadith and from Christianity. Do you know that you are God's temple and that God's spirit dwells within you? For God's temple is holy, and that temple you are. That's from 1 Corinthians 3:16 and 17.
More than enough in a universe that you created. There is more than enough on a planet of sacred design. There is more than enough for humanity made in your image. Why would I worry? Why would I doubt? Why would I ever think I'd go without? Why would I worry? Why would I doubt? Why would I ever think I'd go without? Your infinite love made me, made everything I see, and all that will ever be is your infinite love. Let my soul know. Sacred design. There is more than enough for humanity made in your image. Why would I worry? Why would I doubt? Why would I ever think I'd go without? Why would I worry? Why would I doubt? Why would I ever think I'd go without? Your infinite love made me, made everything I see, and all that will ever be is your infinite love. Let the world know the truth, whatever we choose to do, your infinite love.
Need to listen to that song, I think, like every day to remind us of the truth and just get us started on the right foot. Well, last week we began a four-week series on the spiritual laws of prosperity, with the challenge being to meet these teachings again for the first time. In other words, to become as a beginner on the path, open, receptive, ready to be transformed at depth through the miracle of a new perspective. We know that's what a miracle is. It's the being able to see with new eyes, and so see things that we may not have seen before. In fact, it can transform our entire life experience to shift our perspective. And this miracle will serve not only our own highest good, but also the highest good of all of creation. Last week, we said that our recorder wasn't working well. Over the weekend when I did the music, I also recorded the lesson again. So there will be on the website and CDs available if you want last week's lesson. So they will be available now. As we said last week, most of us have studied New Thought principles for some years now. Through teachings like 4T, the tithing of time, talent, and treasure, Keys to the Kingdom, and the book we're using now, The Four Spiritual Laws of Prosperity by Edwin Gaines, we know that God is our source. We're aware of the laws of attraction, of mind action, and circulation. We usually demand to see the blessing in whatever circumstances come into our lives, and we also practice an attitude of gratitude. In other words, we have the process down pretty well, or at least we know the process, and we're in some degree of discipline to practicing it in our daily lives, or depending upon the day or the week of how well we practice it. In the words of the Pachamama indigenous peoples, we are the awakened dreamers. We understand the co-creative power of our feelings, thoughts, and dreams. But knowing the process is only half of the task. As a rejoinder that is so common that we hear is, be careful what you wish for. We discussed last week also that we don't have to look too far to realize that something is terribly wrong with our dream. Well, with the dream of the dominant first world peoples that is contaminating the air, the water, and the soil. Our earth home in general is creating an exploding separation between the haves and the have-nots and perpetually involves us in wars and terrorism. This modern dream, which has entranced most of us that are part of this first world, is founded on a flawed paradigm that isolates the human experience from the rest of the earth community. Rather than being the crowning glory of the earth, that we should have been sort of the pinnacle of evolution, we have seemingly become an instrument of the earth's degradation. Clearly, the Pachamama are right in that we must change this dream. Any true understanding and practice of spiritual prosperity, of receiving God's kingdom, that it's God's great pleasure to give us, must grow forth from a new dream that embraces a paradigm of sustainability for all of creation. So last week, we looked at the first spiritual principle of prosperity, which was forgiveness, recognizing that anything and everything negative that we hold on to, whether it's personal guilt, resentment or anger towards others, or disillusionment and disappointment with God or life, anything negative that we hold on to blocks the flow of God's good in our lives. When we lift that idea, that practice of forgiveness into our new dream, our new paradigm that is about universal sustainability, we recognize that beyond our personal issues and our personal needs to practice forgiveness, it also calls us to begin to look at our beliefs and our attitudes towards all of creation. And when we are dedicated to change, many of us here are dedicated to this movement of needing to create a more sustainable earth, but we have to realize that even that commitment has to change so that it's grounded in compassion and love rather than in anger and despair. We have to shift to loving our enemies rather than demonizing them, and to acknowledging the full circle of the interconnected complicity in everything that is. We can't resort to us and them kind of mentality if we're going to heal this world and this earth and our humanity within it. We have to come from a place of love to do that. The second spiritual law that we're going to look at today is divine purpose. It's that driving passion that gives our lives meaning, that determines our intentions, and motivates our commitment to action. Our divine purpose is not a goal that we can accomplish, but rather it's a way of living. It's that overriding understanding that lives within a vision of something greater than ourselves that we can commit our lives to. Our personal divine purpose is directly related to the collective story that we live in and exist in and understand who we are through. But our story, our collective story, is a story that's in transition. The old one no longer really serves us anymore. We're sort of breaking away from it. We haven't integrated ourselves into a new one. And yet what we know is that no community, the community of humanity, can survive without an integral unifying story, which is why we find ourselves sort of lost these days. We don't have that unifying story that gives us an understanding of what it means to be human, of what it means to be here. Why am I here, and what is my call? Well, perhaps as awakened dreamers, it's our calling, our purpose, to change the dream and create this new story for humanity to find itself in. I shared this metaphor inspired by Elizabeth Santoris with the Prosperity class the other night. And I think it's a powerful image for us to hold on to. And there are copies of it in the back if you want one. When a caterpillar reaches a certain point in its own evolution, it becomes overconsumptive, a voracious eater, and it eats everything in sight. Kind of sounds like. At that same time, in the molecular structure of the caterpillar, the imaginal cells become active. While all this gorging is going on, those imaginal cells wake up and they look for each other inside of the caterpillar's body. When enough of them connect, and they don't need to be a majority, they become the genetic directors of the future of the caterpillar. At that point, the other cells begin to putrefy and become what's called the nutritive soup, out of which the imaginal cells create the absolute, unpredictable miracle of the butterfly. What's possible is that we're the imaginal cells on the planet right now. Those of us who are already awakened dreamers, who understand our co-creative capacity, perhaps we are called to be the directors of our future. The late Reverend Father Thomas Berry, who passed away on June 1st, 2009, was a Catholic priest of the Passionist Order. He was a cultural historian and an eco-theologian, or his own preferred descriptor, earth scholar. As a leader in deep ecology and eco-spirituality, Father Berry is famous for proposing that our challenge for those of us alive today is to create a new story, perhaps even a new language, to define what it means to be human, to inspire and guide us into effective functioning as individuals and as a species. The stories that we tell, the stories that we create, are really what guide us in everything we do. He specifically said, we need something that will supply in our times what was supplied formerly by traditional religious stories. We must begin with the basic story, a new narrative of how things came to be, how they came to be as they are now, and how the future can be given some satisfying direction. We need a story that will educate, heal, guide, and discipline us. And as Father Berry proposed, this new story must be one that transcends more than our national limitations, more than bringing humanity together as one. It has to also overcome our species isolation. It has to be a story that reminds us that we're part of the entire creative process, that we're part of the community that is the living earth itself. Our new concept of progress must include sustaining the entire earth community. Because to discover right answers, we have to ask the right questions. And to ask the right questions, we have to come from the right assumption. And that assumption is that humanity, rather than separate from creation, is an integral part of creation. This shift in perception, this miracle, will guide us to seek knowledge and answers from within the infrastructures of nature itself. And the infrastructures of nature are created such that they continually renew themselves from within. If we look at everything in nature, we see these cycles of life. And when things die, they become part of the process of what brings new life. We need to study those kinds of infrastructures in order to replace the once seemingly magnificent but now decaying human infrastructures that, rather than renew, exhaust our energies, our finances, and the resources of the earth itself. The teachings are there. We've just sort of gotten them backwards. Again, our idea, our concept, our dream of progress must embrace this continually enhancement of life for the entire planet. It must sustain pure air and pure water and the complex interdependence of our entire ecosystem. We can no longer afford to think that humanity just gets to live on the earth and use it for our own desires, our own wants, because in the end, just like as we realize in terms of our oneness with one another, it never turns out that if some do well and some don't, that the ones that do well are going to end up okay. In fact, we're all one, and so it all connects. And as we see, as we've taken advantage of the earth, we've now begun to destroy it, so it will no longer support us. But the good news is, and there's always good news because God is good all the time, there's great evidence that the same force and power and intelligence that has from the beginning of time that shaped and guided the course of creation is guiding our processes now. It's that same force that's awakening within us, this awareness, this understanding that we've come to this time and that we need to create a new way of living, a new way of being. Indeed, it could be that very awakening that's reminded us that we may be the imaginal cells that need to chart a new course. Throughout the great history of life, from the very first Big Bang, or however you imagine that experience, the evidence demonstrates that at each stage of development, when it seemed that an impasse had been reached, meaning that this has happened over and over again, I don't have all of them memorized, but you know, if the earth was just slightly tilted slightly differently, it wouldn't have allowed for life. If we were just slightly a different distance from the sun, it wouldn't have allowed for life. There are just miracle after miracle after miracle where in evolution it would reach an impasse, and then something improbable and mysterious and what we know to be miraculous because it was some kind of a shift happened, and solutions emerged that enabled the earth to continue in its development. If we sensitize ourselves to such guidance from the very structure and functioning of the universe, and this is a sensitization that we once had as human beings, it's an earth wisdom that was part of who we were, and we're very fortunate that it still lives in the indigenous peoples in our world, this awareness of how to read the earth and how to be one with the earth, and they're still there to teach us. If we align with that, we can have confidence in the future that awaits our human venture. It helps to remember that pre-modern era view when the greatest scientists explored the micro and macro universes in order to better understand God. Their motivation wasn't to learn how to control it. Their motivation was to understand God, because God was creation. So when Galileo and Copernicus and all of these very spiritual people were exploring the heavens, they were doing it to understand God, because they knew God was about all of creation. Somewhere along the line, we shifted into thinking that it was about controlling it. And in that shift, we started to believe we didn't even need God, that we had become gods in not the way that our scriptures teach us, but in our ego form. If we can shift from that, if we can trust in that intelligence that is creation and align ourselves, it will guide us through the peril of the present. And it will create an appropriate context for the next phase of life's evolution. That the guidance is available, we cannot doubt. The difficulty is in the order of the magnitude of the change that is required of us. That's what Father Barry said. So we know the guidance is there. The question is, what choices will we make? And that's true in our daily living, isn't it? We know the guidance is always there, but oftentimes we're just too busy and too noisy and too involved to stop and listen. And that brings us full circle to our personal divine purpose, expressed best by Gandhi, and one that we as our community have embraced to be the change that will change the world. We each have a role in this transformation. We don't have to be the ones with the specific answers. We don't have to be the scientists who finally recreates a model of nuclear fusion, which is about the joining of the nuclei of the atom rather than the splitting and fission that we've developed. And we've survived with fission, but fission, as we know, creates a lot of toxic waste and potential great damage to our Earth. We don't have to be the scientists that come up with the answer, because perhaps even more important than that is creating a context of love. And I'm not talking about the sappy romantic kind of love. I'm talking about the love of spirit, the love of God that allows us to live without fear. Trusting that the God of all creation is good all the time. When we can trust that, rather than being reactive, rather than being defensive, we can create possibilities. We can open our hearts and minds to be the transformation that will change the world, because it's that kind of a context that transformation occurs in. And demonstrating that context of love is something that we can each participate in, because it has to be done at the micro as well as the macro level. As we create it in our families, as we create it in our communities, as we reach out to touch one another and help one another in our very small lives, we will impact the large life. So we need to do our forgiveness work. The 5 steps that we looked at last week about practicing forgiveness every day, about asking God to help us in those places that we can't, in doing clearings, not only for what we have to forgive others, but forgive ourselves. We have to practice that forgiveness, because it's the closest thing that humanity has to grace. It's how we reconnect with God. It's how we open our hearts to get that space of God back in. We need to do our forgiveness work, and then we need to tap into our greatest passion and find a way for it to serve the world's greatest need. And we all have different gifts. It can be by creating beauty. It can be by teaching children. It can be by just being someone who is present and smiling. It can be by reaching out to those in need, or by creating systems that help people live in more ecological ways. It can be by recycling. It can be by just holding a consciousness of possibility rather than one of fear. We got to come from that place of establishing universal love and oneness and sustainability, and we will be a blessing to the world. And then we have to commit ourselves to action. Edwin says, God is waiting for us to start. God can't steer a parked car. And if we find ourselves praying, I love this line, if we find ourselves praying, I'm going to use my name, but you put your own name in there. God, this is Vicky. I'm right here. Just tell me what you want. Anything, I'll do it. I'm dedicating my life to you. Whatever you want, I'll be there. I'm ready to go. Just give me a sign. To which Edwin suggests, if that's our prayer, then we're not listening very well. Because if we would get quiet enough, we would hear God's response saying, Vicky, this is God. I'm right here. Just tell me what you want me to do. Anything, and we'll do it. Whatever you want, I am there. Namaste. So we can prepare for meditation now with this music.